You're one of those folks who, in the valley, we're coming into our own, I feel like, in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
There was a time when this side of the Mississippi River, nothing was going on. But now I look at what's going on the other side of the Mississippi River, and I'd rather be here because there's so much happening.
So would I.
And one of the things that we tend to forget is that people like you who travel the world and give concerts live right here. And we get to hear you from time to time, and we will on Sunday, November 9th. So, Kimberly Marshall, thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
I, like a lot of folks, think about the organ with Baroque and pre-Baroque and then contemporary and all that romantic stuff in the middle. I'm kind of, you know, all right, fine, we'll put up with it. But I think of you and I think of the repertoire, but I look at you as really being a specialist in the Baroque and the pre-Baroque. Am I wrong in that?
Well, not entirely. I have spent a lot of my life specializing in the earlier music because of my fascination by the historical instruments. But I actually also play a lot of romantic music. It's just when you happen to hear me at ASU on the Fritz organ, which is a magnificent instrument for Baroque and Renaissance music. But just a few weeks ago, I gave a concert at Gamage Auditorium on the wonderful Aeolian Skinner instrument there, and it was mainly romantic music.
So tell us about the organ you'll be playing on Sunday.
The Fritz organ in the ASU Organ Hall is really a marvelous instrument. It's what attracted me first to the Valley of the Sun, and it was constructed in 1991 by an American, Paul Fritz. That's why we call it the Fritz organ. And I think sometimes people are misled when we say, oh, I'm playing on the Fritz. They think something's broken, but it's actually his name, F-R-I-T-T-S. And he was inspired by 17th and 18th century Dutch and North German models. So when you look at the instrument, it looks like a historical organ, which is phenomenal. It also sounds like a historical organ, and it feels like a historical organ without some of the creakiness. And Paul Fritz has become one of the leading American builders of instruments that are historically inspired. The ASU organ was his first major instrument, and it really put him on the map. So he has a very soft place in his heart for that organ and comes to see it every year. He loves to get back in touch with it. I play instruments all over the world, and it's amazing how I'm always so happy to come back to that instrument. It's in a perfect acoustical setting, and we often say the most important stop on the organ is the room, because without that reverberation, the organ would not have nearly the presence that it does. And it also has so many of the timbres that I need in order to make Bach's music, Handel's music really come to life. So it's an ideal instrument for the program I'll be playing on Sunday.
Organs are unique. I mean, you talk about the room. If it's not in the right place, the greatest organ just is just another instrument. But they can be voiced. The way that the pipes make sound, how much air is influenced into each pipe and all that. So every time you hear this organ or another organ for people who haven't been before, it's unique. You're hearing a great organ in a great space played by a great player. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
And what is very interesting to me is that a great organ sounds different with each organist. We have a guest artist series, and I'm always amazed at how a different organist will draw out sort of a different sound or a different personality from the instrument. And that's how you can tell it's a really great instrument, because it's that responsive and it has that many options for the player, so that even though I've been here now almost 16 years, I'm still finding new things on the instrument. It's always teaching me new things. It's like an old friend.
Sunday's concert, you're playing two composers that everyone will know, and a third, it looks like, that people are going to be less familiar with. We think of Bach, and I think you don't study Bach very long at all or listen to his music very long at all to realize this man played the organ. You have to listen to Handel a little longer to realize this guy played the organ. And there, you might hear the organ concertos. If you hear Messiah, you'll hear an orchestral arrangement reduced to an organ part. We'll start with Handel. Tell me about Handel the organist.
Yes, you're very right. He's often thought of as this great cosmopolitan. He was in Italy. He was in London. He did so much in opera, in theatrical works, and you compare him to Bach, who stayed in Germany his whole life, who was mainly writing for the church, they seem in stark contrast to each other. Handel was a great virtuoso on the keyboard and played the organ quite a lot. Unfortunately, he didn't publish a lot of his organ music because he was so in demand for other things. But we do have the organ concerti, and I'll be playing a transcription of one of those. Obviously, I'll be playing the organ solo part, but then I'll also be playing the orchestral part.
With your feet, probably.
Well, somewhat. Funny you should mention that, because this concerto is very unusual. It's the only one of Handel's concerti for organ that has an obbligato pedal part, because most of Handel's concerti would have been played as sort of interludes between acts or before some of his operatic productions. And they would have been played on a small sort of chamber-type instrument. But for this one, he includes a part to be played with the pedals, even sometimes rather virtuosic pedal part. And so we know that for this one, he had a larger instrument and was able to use the pedals. So that is one reason that I chose it, because I wanted to dispel this notion that Handel's organ music never used the pedals. The other reason I chose it is because it has a very extended passacaglia, which is a musical form where there's a bass line that's repeated and over it lots of variations. It's kind of almost like a mantra. It's a very mesmerizing musical form. And I thought it would be very interesting to have this extended passacaglia by Handel and also on the same program play Bach's passacaglia, which is a very different treatment, but it really sort of shows these two giants in making a contribution to the same genre.
Before we get to the Bachs, I do want to talk about that. Just recently, we will have heard on K-Bach the Stokowski transcription of that Passacaglia by Bach. But the other piece you're playing by Handel is that famous Largo that people don't know they know until they hear it. They go, that's that thing, right?
Yeah. That's right, the Largo from Xerxes. I decided to include a transcription because I thought this was an important way to reflect Handel's musical output. And we often forget that these operatic greats were often arranged for keyboard and played for different recitals or to entertain people. It's just like we have today, that the top tunes get arranged in instrumental versions without the original words. And there's a particularly beautiful way to adapt this Largo to the organ. I think people will enjoy it very, very much. It has a very stately manner, and it sounds glorious on the Fritz organ.
I'm sorry, is it a transcription basically you've created, or is this?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I started with an arrangement of somebody else of the chords and things, but I add my own ornaments and different things to make it a little more idiomatic for the instrument.
That's one of those things that, again, maybe people don't know about organists. The best organists I know can do what organists that I've known called noodling. You know? And it helps, too, when you're working with somebody who gets lost musically, because you can noodle around until they find where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good noodler. But hopefully I won't be noodling too much during the concert.
When you think of Bach, you know, to me, if you have to prove there's a higher order in things, it's Bach for me. That Bach even existed, you know, to give us so much of the traditions we have today. But I think if there were two, the idea these two guys are born the same year, first of all, is remarkable. Born in Germany and then never meet. You know, the times that were set aside for them to try, his Bach's sons tried to arrange this. It was, Handel was going to do it, Bach's going to do it. It never happens. I wonder what that would have been like.
I think many people wonder what that would have been like. It's extraordinary. They were born so close together, Handel in Halle and Bach in Eisenach, the same year. They went on to such illustrious careers. I think when you imagine Baroque music, those are probably the two names that come up first. I mean, everyone knows Bach and Handel. And yet, so different in the ways they conducted their careers and in the musical output as well. Because, of course, Bach is composing all these cantatas, mass, passions, and Handel is much more in the theatrical realm. So one wonders what it would have been like had they met. Would they have clicked personality-wise, I think probably it would have all been about the music, and they probably would have taken a theme and each improvised on it, showing off their skills. Handel actually published 6 organ fugues, and I'll be playing one of these on Sunday. So they're not nearly as complex as Bach's most complex fugues, and they were conceived for an English organ, which is manuals only. So they don't have the pedal parts that you encounter in Bach's fugues. But he was a master contrapuntist, and I think that's sometimes overlooked when you're comparing the two. And he certainly had the virtuosity that we know Bach had as well. So they would have had a lot in common, despite the different focus of each man's
It looks like you're ending the concert with something by Guillemont that's based on him. Tell me what you're playing, why you chose to conclude this way.
Yeah, this is a bit adventurous. Guillemont was a very, very important French organist in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. The first French organist to conduct major concert tours of the United States. And we're very indebted to him because he did a lot of research into earlier musics and brought a lot of Baroque music to the U.S. He played, I think, like 40 concerts at the 1904 Chicago World Fair. And in those programs, he included a lot of French Baroque music, but also music by Handel, music by Pachelbel, music that really was not very current for organists to be playing at that time in the United States. As part of his advocacy of early music, he also would take themes from Baroque works and then adapt them to the organ and the organ of his time, which was a very full, rich, romantic organ. So I'm going to be playing 2 of Guillemont's paraphrases on themes by Handel. So he's taken a theme, one of them is from the Messiah, and then he's treated it, but in his own way. And it's a much denser texture than one would normally associate with Handel's music. Now, what's a little bit challenging is playing this on the Fritz organ, which is a much more Baroque conceived instrument. And I was a little hesitant until I tried it out, and they just sound fabulous. It's not at all the way it would have sounded on a French organ of Guillemont's time, or indeed on the organ he played at the Chicago World's Fair. Sorry, St. Louis World's Fair.
Oh. Meet me in St. Louis. We'll figure it.
Yeah. Okay, so Guillemont played at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis, Missouri. So he was right in the Midwest bringing this early music to audiences there. So when I play these pieces on the Fritz organ, it isn't going to sound at all like romantic organs in France at the time of Guillemont, or indeed the instrument he would have played at the St. Louis World Fair. But I think listeners will really enjoy hearing how versatile the Fritz organ at ASU is for these thick romantic timbres. I must admit, I'm very surprised at how well it sounds. In March last year, I had the opportunity to play a similar program of Bach and Handel in Handel's Parish Church, St. George, Hanover Square. And there's a new organ there in the old case, built by the American builders Ralph Richards and Bruce Fowkes, who also constructed the instrument at Pinnacle Presbyterian in North Scottsdale. And I've played many of their instruments all over the world, but of course this was quite a coup for American organ builders to receive the commission to build the instrument in Handel's Parish Church in London. So I was very much thinking, what sort of program do I want to do? This is such an amazing opportunity. And that instrument has a swell box, which is where a large division of pipes is in a louvered box that the organist can open and close the louvers with the pedal, which means you can make a gradual crescendo or diminuendo, which is very, very good for classical music and also, of course, for romantic music. So I did it there. I did these paraphrases by Guillemont on that program. And someone in the audience, a friend of mine, overheard another audience member who saw the program and said, "Guillermo, well, that's really stretching it a bit, isn't it?" But everyone concluded after the concert that it worked fabulously well on the organ. So I thought I'd try it on the ASU Fritz, and I'm very pleased with the results. So you'll have to come Sunday and see if you agree.
And again, people aren't going to, having grown up with an organist, I remember being in Europe and people would say, you know, invite, you know, would you play the organ? And every organist, you sit down, first of all, it's looking around, seeing what you got. What are the stops I have? What position are they? And to start playing. Then you, pretty soon, there's this weird thing that kicks in with your brain, I guess, that if I marry this to that, I've got the, oh, I can do this, I can do that. I've never done this before. But here you are with an old friend, the Fritz, trying something new. All the stops, I'm assuming not much has changed in the 16 years you've been there, right?
No, we were just able to finally purchase the two remaining stops that had been prepared for, but no.
Always finding something new.
Always finding something new, but that's what makes organ playing so exciting to me.
Well, Kimberly Marshall, we look forward to Sunday. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.